Thanks for worshiping with us online here at Bethany Church. And if you haven't checked in already, be sure to do that. I'm probably like every other preacher. On a Sunday morning, I'll look out over the congregation and I start counting how many empty seats there are. It's not very hard to count the empty seats this morning. All of them are empty. But I've got faith you're out there. Last Sunday, there were over 2,500 people and devices and views all around the country. They were watching our first ever online service. They were in places all around Oklahoma, as well as our city, but places all around our country, and as far away as France and Russia. As you know, we're currently under a 21-day safer at home order in Oklahoma, and groups of no more than 10 people are allowed to meet together. That means for us that we'll continue to worship online until further notice. It's going to be important for us to stay connected as a church family using social media, email, text messages, phone calls. We'll do our best to resource you during this time and make as many connection opportunities available to you as possible during this pandemic. And of course, the big question is, what about Easter, April the 12th? We still hope to be able to meet in person, but we are intentionally planning as if that will not be possible. But we still are going to have Easter. You can't cancel Easter. So what I want to do is encourage you to be praying now for Easter services as I was doing before. And I want to challenge you to invite as many people as possible to worship in Bethany online with you Easter Sunday. And I personally want to challenge you to invite at least one person who does not know Jesus Christ to worship with you online. And of course, you can always invite more than one. And if by some chance you're able to worship in person, they can still worship online with you or come to Easter services with you. We're going to worship together in giving, as we always do. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness in giving. You can give online at bethany.info. You can text give at 84321. And of course, many of you mailed in your offerings this past week. You can mail them in. And I just thank you for your faithfulness during this time in giving. You know, last week we changed our sign out front and put out this sign out front that says, "We love you, Broken Arrow." And we wanted our community to know that we're praying for them, we love them, and we'll be here for them. I received a call just a few days ago from the director of Broken Arrow CARD, which is the Community Action Resource and Development. She attends our church, and she called to tell me that there were several families that they assist that are in desperate need. They had about 50 families that needed food, diapers, baby formula, wipes, etc. Most of these families were foster families. Some were even homeless. And she asked if there was anything that we could do to help them. CARD's mission is to bring together resources to reduce poverty, to revitalize low-income communities, and empower low-income people to attain skills, education, and opportunities to become self-sufficient. You know, because of your faithful giving and generosity, we were able to give her over $1,200 that very day to help these families and to show our love to Broken Arrow. Well, we're going to pray together as you give today. And at the end of the prayer, I want us again to pray together as a church the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Father, we know that these are very unusual and uncertain times. And Father, we pray for all of those in our community that are in great need. We pray your protection over them. And Father, I pray for everyone watching today. Father, you'll give them comfort if they're distressed. You'll give them clarity if they're confused. Give them peace if they're anxious, strength if they're weak, joy in trials. Give them hope if they're in despair. Draw us closer to you and to each other during these times of separation. And Father, I pray you'll use this temporary pandemic to bring about your eternal peace in our life and in this world. And together as your church, we pray together the prayer you taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and forever. Amen. We were in a series from the book of Hebrews entitled Jesus is Better when we were interrupted and sent in another direction. We were in Hebrews chapter 6, And we're at Hebrews 6:19, and that verse I want to share with you this morning. It says, we have this hope as an anchor of the soul, firm and secure. Our anchor is hope. And you need an anchor in the times of storm. And this anchor during the storm holds us if we'll hold firm and secure to it. Then this verse in Proverbs 12:25 I shared with you last week says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. You can just sense the heaviness of anxiety in people's voices. You can see it in their faces. But a good word makes them glad. And over these next few weeks, we want to look at a good word that Jesus has to say to us in this series we've entitled Finding Peace in a Pandemic. After Easter, I was planning to start a new series from the Gospel of Mark. And as reading through Mark in preparation for that, I was thinking about some of those stories in Mark chapter 4 and chapter 5. And that's what I want us to look at today and over these next couple of weeks. In the book of Hebrews, we saw that the writer of Hebrews, the preacher, was writing to people and to Christians who were being persecuted for their faith. They were faltering and they were thinking about giving up. And he was writing them a message saying, don't quit and don't give up. The Gospel of Mark was written to the first century to Gentile believers who were being persecuted for their faith. They were struggling. They were being tested. It was written to encourage and to embolden them. What we learn from that is our faith will be tested. Do we really believe what we say we believe? Do we really trust Jesus? So I was thinking about, why are we anxious? Why are we anxious? Well, I thought of two reasons why we're anxious. One reason is that we lack knowledge. We don't really know what the future holds. There's uncertainty that makes us anxious. We just don't know. And then we lack power. We don't have the ability, we don't have the power, we can't do anything, we can't change anything. I think that's one lesson the Lord is teaching us through these times. There are some things that we just can't do. There's some things that we can only learn about God and ourselves in a storm. And it's taking us in this storm, I think, to learn some things about ourselves and most of all about Him. So what I want to do today is just sort of slowly work our way through this story of Jesus and his disciples and out on the Sea of Galilee in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through verse 41. So I invite you to take your Bible and or your Bible app and follow along with me this morning. So we read in verse 35, it says, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. Now to give you a little context, we need to know that day, a long day for Jesus Christ. It started with a confrontation with the religious leaders that accused him of being of the devil. Then that was followed by a tension with his physical, earthly family. And then he ended up at the Sea of Galilee teaching, and large crowds were coming, and the crowds were so large that Jesus got in the boat. And for the rest of that day, he was just teaching them parable after parable right there at the seashore until nightfall. And then it said, when evening had come, he said, let us go to the other side. Instead of going to the shores nearby, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And so here's a little bit of a spoiler alert. Jesus is getting ready to lead them right into a storm. Sometimes we find ourselves in a storm because of disobedience to God. Sometimes we find ourselves in a storm because of obedience to God. Sometimes he just leads us right into the storm. And why does he do that? Well, he wants us to learn something about him, and he wants us to learn something about ourselves. You know, there are some things we just cannot learn with a calm seat on the shore that we can only learn out in the midst of a storm. There are some things we can learn in the calm, but there are only certain things that we can learn about God and ourselves during the storm. So I want to ask you, what is it that you are learning during the storm of this pandemic? What are you learning about God? What are you learning about yourself? Then we get to verse 36, and it says, and leaving the crowd, they took with them in the boat, they just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And at dusk was setting in, and they start to sail across the Sea of Galilee. And it looked just like this. Here's a picture of the Sea of Galilee. And as you can see, as the sun is setting there, you can see the calmness of the sea. And the Sea of Galilee is 650 feet below sea level. But you can see the mountains that surround the Sea of Galilee. And the mountains go hundreds of feet high. And so the Sea of Galilee is sitting in this boat that just make conditions right for a storm to blow up. And in the Gospel of Mark, Mark gives more details of this story than we find in Matthew and Luke. I think that's because Mark is writing the recollections of Peter, and Peter's giving him an eyewitness account, and he can paint in the details of what happened that eventful night. For example, he mentions that there were other boats that were with them. Then, verse 37, it says, "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat. And so the boat was already filling." And that word for windstorm, it's a word in the Greek that means, it could be translated hurricane. It could even be translated tornado. This wasn't an ordinary windstorm, but he says it was a great windstorm. And he uses the word megala there. And the word megala is the word we get mega from. So it's a super big, great storm of wind that's taking place. And it's not a normal storm. It's a super storm. I think about a few years ago when the hurricane hit the Northeast, and it was named Sandy. But always now it's referred to as Super Storm Sandy. It was an unusual hurricane that came. And so this was a mega super windstorm that came. The waves were crashing over into the boat, and these waves were filling up the boat. It probably could have looked something like this. You can only imagine what you would think if you saw these kind of waves coming towards you. And so the waves were coming into the boat. So this wasn't any ordinary storm. And we kind of know that because a few verses later in verse 40, Jesus said the disciples were afraid. And the word that he used there is a word that means panicked. They were terrified. And you have to remember that at least four of these disciples were professional fishermen. They'd seen many storms on the Sea of Galilee. And there was something different about this storm they had never seen before. It filled them with panic and fear. It kind of reminds me, living here in Oklahoma, that sometimes we get a warning of severe weather coming. There might be some tornadoes. And we usually aren't too concerned about that. But unless we get the warning that this is an extraordinary storm that's coming, the possibility of an F5 tornado, it's a storm of a super magnitude that's coming. So Jesus describes these disciples as filled with panic. They were terrified of what was happening. The boat was filling up with water, and that wasn't a good thing. What that reminds me is that it's usually the experts that know when to panic. You know, I've heard it said during this time that you can't spell pandemic without panic. And we've been listening to expert after expert tell us the severity of this pandemic we're in. You can almost hear the panic in their voice. But you know, that's not the real problem. I think the next verse is the one that tells us the real problem that we were facing. So it says in verse 38, "But he," Jesus, "was in the stern." And notice what it says, "asleep." He was asleep on a cushion. There he was asleep. No doubt he was tired. It had been a long day. He was exhausted. And so he had just found him a place to lie down and to go to sleep. And so Jesus was really tired. But this storm comes up, and we read, "And they went and they woke him up and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" And so here's the problem. They come to Jesus and say, "Rabbi, teacher, don't you care? Don't you care what's happening to us? Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you care that we're drowning?" And the word there that's used for perishing or for drowning, it literally means to be destroyed. It means to be ruined. It could even mean to be killed. Jesus, don't you even care that we're being ruined, that our lives are being destroyed, our finances are being ruined? We could even lose our life. Don't you even care? Jesus, here we are dying and you're sleeping. And that really is the problem that they're dealing with. And this is, I think, the lesson that we can learn from that is in the storm, it's in the storm that we are tempted to doubt God's love and power. It's when those storms come that we want to know, where are you? Are you even awake? Do you even care? And remember that Mark is writing for Gentile Christians, and they were risking their life to follow Jesus, and they were panicking. They were losing their businesses. They were losing their homes. Some were even losing their life. And they were wondering, you know, does Jesus even care? Think about these words in Psalm 10, 1. It says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Or in Psalm 44, 23, it says, "Awake, why are you sleeping, O Lord?" Or verse 26 of Psalm 44, "Rise up and come to our help." You know, I understand that people on the outside of the church, outside of faith, ask that question. You know, where is God during trials and troubles and suffering and evil? Where is he during this time of pandemic? But honestly, we have to admit that there are even those of us inside the church at times like this ask those same types of questions. We wonder where God is. What's he doing? Doesn't he even care? Doesn't even know that we're dying out here. We're being ruined out here. Why doesn't he do something about it? You know, this is the only time in the Gospels that we're told that Jesus was ever asleep. The only time that he's sleeping in the Gospels is right here in the midst of a storm. And apparently, he's not panicked by the storm. And so Jesus isn't panicked even when we are panicked. But you get to verse 39, and it says, "And he woke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." And so Jesus woke up and rubbed the sleep out of his eyes, and it says he rebuked the wind. And, you know, he spoke to the waves. You know, you don't really speak to things. You speak to people. But yet Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves. He spoke like he knew them. He spoke like he had authority over them. And it says, "And the wind ceased." And you see what it says? "And there was a great calm." And again, that word megalize used, or there was a mega calm. So a few moments before you had a mega storm, now you have a mega calm after Jesus spoke to it. This was a super calm that took place. It would have looked just like this, that the water would have become glass. It was a calm like they had never seen before. It was an extraordinary calm. Now, kind of put yourself in the place of the disciples. And they're wondering, you know, what's going on here? What's happening here? And this is where we really get to the point of the story. So we read in verse 40. Jesus said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And it's interesting that the word he uses there, though, is this: why are you afraid? Why are you panicking? Why are you still anxious? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And here's the lesson I think Jesus is wanting to teach us, and that is that faith is not compatible with fear. We talked about it last week, that anxiety is exclusively for unbelievers. It's not for us who are believers. And faith is not compatible with fear. But let me remind you, as we talked about last week, this kind of fear or this kind of panic or this kind of anxiety or this kind of worry, that we understand what we're talking about and what Jesus is talking about in the Bible. And this kind of anxiety is carrying the concerns in this world in such a way that we lose perspective on life and lack trust in God. That we carry these concerns in this life, in this world that come at us. We carry them in such a way that we lose perspective on life and we lack trust in God. And so faith is incompatible with that kind of fear, that kind of anxiety, that kind of worry. Faith is not operating in our life when we have that kind of of fear in our life. There's a faith that resists fear like that. And that's the kind of faith that we need to have. And so the word from God, that good word that we need to hear, that he's telling us is don't be afraid. It's the most often repeated commandment in all of the Bible. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. There's no reason for us as followers of Christ with faith to worry like that, to be afraid like that. But then Jesus says in verse 41, it says, and they were filled with great fear. Again, you see that word great. That's mega fear. And they said to one another, well, who is this man? Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, it's a little strange now that the danger seems to have passed, and now the sea is calm. And yet we read that they were filled with great fear. But you have to understand that that word that's translated fear in verse 41 is a different word that doesn't speak of being afraid. This is a word that means to revere or to have great reverence or awe. And so now you see they are filled with what we call this mega reverence or awe. They forgot about the storm. Now they're thinking about the person that is right there before them. And they ask themselves, who is this? Who is this? He can speak to the wind. He can speak to the waves. And that's how Mark chooses to end this story in his gospel. That's the point of the story. He doesn't end it with a calm seat there on the shore. He ends with no storm, but he ends with the realization in the disciples' minds that there is something about Jesus that is different. And they begin to realize he is the one who can command the wind and the waves. The one who commands the wind and the wave is standing right there with them in the boat. And they're in awe. They're revering him. Now remember, these are Jewish men. And the only one who commands the winds and the waves. Well, look what it says in Psalm 107. It says in verse 28, then they cried to the Lord in their troubles, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. It kind of sounds like Mark 4. Then he says in verse 30 and 31, then they were glad that the waters are quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. It was there in the boat that they realized that Jesus is God himself. And he's right there in the boat with them. Because only God can do what he just did. So now they were really afraid. Or they were in mega reverence or mega awe. We read in verse 41 again what it says. They were filled with this great fear. Who is this man that even the wind and the wave, the seas obey him? And that's really what faith is. And that's what the point of the story that Mark is telling us is. That this faith is this mega reverence, this mega awe. We're filled with awe of this God. And he's not left us alone. That he's right there with us. And that really is the message of the whole Bible. That God hasn't left us alone. That he is Emmanuel. He is the God that is with us. Jesus hasn't left us alone in the storm. So let me remind you. Now, why are we anxious? Well, we're anxious because we lack knowledge. But we have faith in the God who knows everything. There's nothing that he doesn't know. He knows what the future holds. He knows what tomorrow brings. He's the one that holds tomorrow in his hand. We are anxious because we lack power, but we have faith in a God who is all-powerful. He can do anything. And we have no vaccine. We have no cure for this pandemic. But yet we know the God who is more powerful than any of those things. And that really is the guarantee. That's the whole point of the story. No matter what wave or wind this world and this life may throw at you, that It's the God that we serve who has power to calm the storm. And he's right there in the boat with you. Matter of fact, he's right there in the very room with you now. You're not alone. He hasn't left us by ourselves. Trust him. God is near those who panics and who worries. God never panics or worries. It's the point of he's asleep. He wants us to know there that he never worries. And while we tend to worry, he never worries. He never panics, and neither do we. And so here's the good word. God will see you through the storm. He will see you through the storm. He'll be with you. He's the God that cares for you. He's the God who says, leave that fear and that anxiety behind. Be all filled. Have that reverence for him, the God who knows you, who and loves you. And so it's my prayer today for you that you'd know that if anything ever happened to you, and if you're even to lose your life, you would know that you'd go to heaven, that you have that hope. And it's not based on any good works that you do. It's based on what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. It's just having faith in him. And so I want to pray for you today. If you don't know him, that you'll trust him today. If you do know him, I'm going to pray that your faith will grow stronger and take hold of him, of the one who's right there in the room with you, who speaks over you peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for God with us, Emmanuel. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for coming into this world. And thank you that we never have to panic. We never have to fear. That, Father, you never panic. You're never worried. And even though we lack knowledge and we lack power, you have all knowledge. You have all power. And, Father, we just hold on to you and our anchor. And, Father, I pray for those today who want to give their life to you, who just want to ask you to forgive them of their sins and entrust in you. And Father, I know that you're bringing them into your family. And Father, we pray for our church family today. Father, you'd give us healing where we need healing. Father, you'll use us where we need to be used. And Father, I pray your blessings upon all who are watching today. And Father, may you continue to let us be your church as we serve you during this time. Thank you for the lives that are changed. Thank you for what you're teaching us, what you want us to learn during this storm. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.